Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Thomas. Thanks for listening to The Philosophy Show at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. We have another exciting episode today, episode number 150, and so today's episode is titled Stop Wars, A New Hope. You're cool, I'm calm, we're collected. So that's kind of a pun on Star Wars. I saw some shirts like that, first time I've seen them. Maybe you've seen them before, but I just saw them the first time about a week or two ago. And it says Star Wars, it says Stop Wars with the same kind of writing. And so what better way to have any kind of episode, or to, you know, maybe celebrate the 150th episode than talking about stopping war and having peace. And so... Kumbaya, my friends. Welcome in to another episode of The Philosophy Show. You can also visit youtube.com/blastoffreshair. Not breath of fresh air, but blast of fresh air. And so instigate peace, but I guess, you know, that could be a slogan as well. If you instigate it, though, maybe depends on the term you mean by instigate. So actually, that's going to be the word of the day, instigate. And, okay, let's read the definition of that. To provoke or stir up, to incite, inspire, well, inspire maybe, inspire peace. Yeah, inspire peace. So... Okay, well, we have a caller online here, and let's bring him on. All right, let's see what they're going to say today. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing tonight? This is Bubby from the Backwoods. How's it going?
Oh, hey. It's going good. Yeah, how are you doing tonight? Have you called in before?
I don't know. I guess you folks would know better than I do. I just randomly scramble on some different shows and all that. I might have surfed your show and hit it one time. So how are you doing?
You're a comedian, right? So you're a comedian and you do a lot of voices. I'm not just saying that, but I mean, I really sincerely, you're a comedian and you do a lot of voices. Is that right?
I think that's right. Was I on your show that one time and you said you was going to do a new show? And you were changing your show and going to revamp it at a different time. Was that you I was talking to?
It might have been. It might have been. Yeah, I do plan on doing some different things here in the future.
Well, back in the day when I was on your show, I think you were talking about politics and you were trying to get the message out back then.
Yeah.
That was a little while back. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, that's what it's going to go more back to. I'm going to interview people that are running for Congress that are on the ballots and, that will be careful about going to war and stuff like that. I'm going to interview people that are independent and third-party candidates.
Yeah.
And
I remember, you're the one I talked to. Yeah, you were the one I talked to. You wanted to talk to me so bad, and you said you was going to stay in touch, and that never happened. That's not your fault, but I'm just saying, you know. So, yeah, I remember that. I just did about 20 shows tonight, every one of them cuss you out, hang you up, or they got something to talk about that's not too important at this time in the morning, but you know what I mean.
Well, what do you think about politics and war? I know,
well,
I'm not trying to ruin the mood, but yeah, what do you think about politics and war?
Well, in what way are you asking me? I mean, you're mixing two together, you know, politics and war. So ask me a little bit more in depth of what you're asking, so, and I'll give you an answer.
Well, I mean, there wouldn't be war without politics, would there? Is war like is war an absence of good diplomacy, as some people say, an absence of politics, I guess, or an abuse of politics? I mean, would people really go and fight and die for, you know, big corporations or whatever? I mean, you know, if they actually thought about it a little deeper, maybe.
Well, I think maybe what's missing is, when you said what's missing, is God. That's the whole picture. I know I'm not going to get into no big thing.
Well, no, but God, actually, that's a good point. God said, blessed are the peacemakers. So today, I'm going to dedicate the show to peacemaking.
And they're not going to make peacemaking because they're in perfect flesh. You see what I mean? We're all in perfect flesh. Black, white, yellow, green, whatever color you are, we're all in perfect flesh. We're all sinners. But that's why he's got the big end coming. You know, if you go to any church, it doesn't matter what church you pick, all of them believe in Armageddon in the end. It doesn't matter what religion it is. Isn't that odd that some people get mad and they say, well, you know, I don't want to mix with them Jehovah's Witnesses because they're a cult. I don't want to mix with the Mormons because they're a cult. I don't want to mix with, but all of them are saying the same message. The end is coming, my friend.
Yeah, and it's going to go out in a big war, right? It's like God is the Lord of hosts.
No, he's not going to make no war. He's not going to make a war. All he did was he spread the word, and those who do listen and don't listen, you know, I understand what he's saying. That's what he got the Bible there for. A lot of people never read that Bible. That's the thing. You know, I got to admit, back in my day, I used to see the Bible down at Motel 6 when I'm banging a chick. You get what I mean? I never picked that Bible up. I picked a condom up, and I'm ready to go, you know?
So, yeah, you'll read that Bible later, right? That's what you were thinking. Like when you get older and, you know, when you're getting near the closer to the end, right? And that's when you'll take it more seriously. Right now, I mean, you'd rather have, you know, a piece of the pie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that, you know. I would have probably picked that Bible up quicker if her husband showed up, you know. But hang on, Lord, don't kill me, you know, but you're a sinner. Goodbye, my friend. But the point of the matter is that most people don't read it. There's a lot of things in there that I couldn't believe. That's what he said the Bible there for. Not that I'm a preacher. I've been on a show earlier tonight, and that guy was a preacher big time. As what he's telling people on his show was, hate all the white people, and let's reunite as blacks. So I said, take a boat and go to fucking Africa. You know what I mean? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of hearing all that. Put a loincloth on, wear a spare, chuck someplace on fucking, you know, one of them geographic photos I see in a book and all that, and quit complaining, you know?
So, I mean, so do you think, I don't know the show that you're talking about, but I do know that there's been a lot of talk back and forth about, you know, nowadays some of the themes or memes are, well, Black Lives Matter is one. Another is politically correct or incorrect. Another is war, of course. I mean, there's always religion and war, right? So what do you think about the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think that anybody who's teaching those people that, most of them that I listen to on the radio show, and I've been on tons of shows since all these shootings and everything, they all brainwashed. Somebody brainwashed them, because I used to go on shows that they knew me and I was popular and they'd get rid of me quick. You know what they call me? Inbred motherfucker. With dicks in his mouth, can't talk right and all that. They never used to talk to me like that. They get rid of me quick. And those shows used to publicize and promote me in the whole nine yards and wanted me on their show and all that. What happened is that for some reason or another, I think in my mind, and I think it's sickening, is that people don't see we're all family. We're all flesh and blood. They think there's politics. You know, I had one gentleman talk to me tonight, and he said, politics is all for the white people. All for the white people. Oh, and then I talked about my prison sentence and my time in jail and all the times I got pulled over and tased and kicked and spit on and all. Well, you had a white privilege. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean.
But do you think, like, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a conspiracy to divide and conquer people?
No. I think it's a brainwashing mix theory right there. You know what? Hey, let me put it to you this way. If I get on a radio show, and I used to do tons of radio shows that were black shows, and I thought everybody was equal and all that, and they get mad if I say that now. They never used to get mad when I said, we're all equal, you know, there's nothing to... We all bleed red, don't we? You know, God damn, have you ever bled? I bleed red, and you bleed red, but even though your skin might be black, they got... Now they get all mad and huffy about it. I can't believe that people really think in this mix of this imperfect world that they're going to find peace and harmony and truth through politics. Look at Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Obama. I even told the guy, you should be happy because you got a black president. He went from auto detailer to fucking president. What you complaining about, you know? Well, he messed up the deficit. He didn't know how to spend money. Well, that's because he was on food stamps, and now he's got the national treasure, and he don't know how. Oh, let's just print some more money, and we ran out. You know, you can't do that.
Well,
at
I think
home,
it's,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do think, like, there is a segment of Black Lives Matter, and I know some are trying to co-opt the movement, but I do think there is a segment of it that actually defines it as Black Lives Matter. Two instead of more. So, I mean, some people might, it depends whether they are defining it with a two, like T-O-O at the end of that phrase, Black Lives Matter two, or if they're defining it as Black Lives Matter more. And I think most people that are black would define it as Black Lives Matter two, not more. I mean, I'm sure there's a small percentage or there's some young people. I mean, do you think it's just more young people or I mean, do you think like, I mean, because honestly, if you look at statistics and stuff, most of all violence is people that are under 30 years old. I mean, once people get to a certain age, there really is peace in the world, except if you're like, you know, some kind of dictator, like, you know, whatever, you know, just name a dictator, but most people generally
Donald Trump, there's one right there.
Don't take it wrong. Some things about him that are kind of like that. I mean, who knows? Maybe he really is a decent person. The thing with him, though, is I see it's very hard for him to relate to a normal person being a billionaire. You know, I mean, he must live in a big bubble that's you know, it's totally.
You got to
like,
remember two things, like I told them on a black show I was on when they were bragging about Donald Trump and the whole nine yards, like they did with Obama. I told them Donald Trump crunches in numbers. Hillary Clinton deals with people. Now, if you really look at that strongly, in my advice, I would say, how could one person look at people, the other one's crunching numbers? That means that guy is not going to worry about people. He's going to crunch the numbers and try to fix America by crunching the numbers. He'll get rid of whatever he's got to get rid of and all the wrong. And I'm not against him for what he's doing. But you got to look at the people, too. So he don't want nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. He crunches numbers. She deals with people. So why don't they put the two together, which they ain't going to ever be together because I can hear everything you're saying. But nevertheless, one can care about the people, let him sit back in a room and crunch the numbers and be a better America. That's the way I looked at it. But if you're going to crunch numbers and not care about the people and all you care about is the dollar amount, you got a problem. If the other person just cares about people and she's not crunching numbers, you got a problem. But if you put the two together, even though they hate one another, and don't want to be next to each other, you would have one perfect thing going on. One's crunching numbers, the other one's caring about the people. Hallelujah, or he's happy, she's happy, but they don't mix. You see what I mean? So that's
yeah,
kind of weird.
No, I think you have an overall good point. I mean, and that's really what the purpose of Congress is to get a mix of, like, every kind of person, whether you're a farmer, you're a mechanic, whatever you might do, you're an artist, etc., and then you get the collective brainstorming of the best minds and hearts and etc. in America. The thing about the presidency is that most people are so egotistical that, you know, they don't want to, you know, be a co-CEO of a company. They want to be the CEO. Like, look at Trump. I mean, he has his name plastered everywhere, and Clinton has a pretty good ego herself. I mean, neither of them would want to select a vice president that would outshine them or something like that. The only person that said, actually, that's running, that said he wouldn't mind sharing his office with his vice president is Gary Johnson. Have you heard of Gary Johnson, the two-time governor from New Mexico, who is running actually as the spoiler third-party libertarian candidate?
Yes, I did.
I mean, he used to be a Republican, and he got elected twice in a blue state like New Mexico, which is a heavily Democrat state. And so, I mean, he's a legitimate candidate. I mean, he's not someone that just came from nowhere. He does have a lot of experience in government, and he seems somewhat reasonable. I don't agree with, you know, I wouldn't want him to push austerity over the American people, but I don't think he could with the Congress we have anyways. But I mean, he's something to think about.
Yeah, that's the big thing right there. Now, watch this. So you got Republicans and Democrats, right? What I don't understand is why do the people have to segregate themselves when they're all one? If you're all equal and you're all one, why are you going to have Republicans and Democrats? Why don't they just have all the people say what they want to say instead of segregating themselves from one side to the other? See what I mean?
Am I talking to George Washington? Are you really George Washington? Because that's what he said on his farewell address. He said something along that is going to cause strife, and, you know, one side is going to want to dominate the other side, and they're going to constantly go back and forth and, you know, bicker, and you know, they're going to have feelings of revenge, and, you know, things like that will happen. But
yes,
that's what he said. Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? There's somebody else who came a long time before George Washington, who never ran for president or vice president. Jesus Christ. Remember that?
Yeah, you think there are political parties in the kingdom of heaven?
No. What I'm trying to say is he came here. He never took a side. He welcomed everybody. But the point that I can make this real clear is that I get on a show, doesn't matter if it's white or black, but on this particular show, the guy says, hey, listen to me, Bubba. Jesus is black. You know, he has a right to believe Jesus is black. Believe whatever color he is, as long as you believe. But the point is, I said to him, let me ask you something. If you were Jesus and you're black, and I didn't mean any offense to him, I'm just saying, you'd have ran a long time. You wouldn't carry no cross, you wouldn't carry no thorny crown, you wouldn't have been 16 penny nails in your ankles and feet and wrists and all that. Hey, you to run. Say, fuck this fucking God, I'm out of here. Fuck these people. Take me home. I let them know, you know. God damn, that's a bunch of bullshit right there. Remember?
And so,
Jesus.
Yes, they didn't like that statement, right?
No, but they don't understand. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Even though he was in man's flesh and came down, it's the Holy Spirit. Didn't matter a color. There's no color in any of that. But everybody wants
to
mix color.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't matter the color. It's a spirit. It's a soul. One of the messages I get out of Jesus is that you know, when he said stuff like turn the other cheek or don't cast the first stone, and, you know, if you're living in a glass house and stuff like that, is that it's just the opposite of human nature, which is to get an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's really the opposite of our instincts, you know, and, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, etc. I mean, it's really the opposite of our natural tendencies. And what he's doing about that, and so is dying for other people, you know, instead of running, you're actually putting yourself first in line. You're waving the flag saying, here I am. I mean, it's just the complete 180-degree opposite of, you know, our fight or flight attitude. And I think the reason why is because if you're living in a fight or flight thing, you're not really alive anyways, even though you might be alive here. You're not, you know, really alive in the sense of having a spirit and being principled and being able to stick to that principle and not being afraid. And so when he broke the mold, per se, you could say it's mind over matter. I mean, you could say it's the animal over the machine. You could say it's a spirit in the machine that is taking control and saying, you know what, I'm not going to let the machine rule me. It's the next step of evolution, in a sense, of I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to, you know, possibly not in a reckless way put my body in harm's way, but I'm not afraid to put my body in harm's way because I have principles. I'm really alive. Even if you kill me now, I'm living by principle, which is more alive than someone who's already alive that is, you know, just a robot, basically, or an animal. An animal and a robot, same thing, because they're just going on programmed instincts instead of thinking for themselves and taking control and, you know, going against that instinct.
Well, now, listen to what you just said. Listen to what you just said. I think that Republican and Democrat was born the day he was killed. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
No people joined together.
Mean.
They separated.
Are
one took one side, one took
another.
I totally
get what you mean. I mean, you know what? Yeah. Jesse Ventura, the ex-governor of Minnesota, the Navy SEAL and pro wrestler, he called them, the Republicans and the Democrats, the Bloods and the Crips. So he would call the Republicans the the Rebloodlicans, and the Democrats, the Democrips, because, you know, the Crips and the Bloods, you know, those gangs that are in L.A., Los Angeles, they were blue and red parties.
Yeah.
The Republicans are blue and red, too, and they wear their colors, you know. I mean, it's you know, so it's so tribal and gang-like, basically, the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But there's, you know what, the good news is, I have to say some good news that's a fact. More people identify themselves as independent than either of the two parties. Just Google Gallup poll independents or people that self-identify as independents. I think it's 29% of people identify themselves as a Democrat, or maybe like 32%, and it was about the same amount, a little less, that identified as Republican. Everyone else, bigger than either of the two, identify themselves as independents.
And that's a problem, see? Guess why? Because when you get independence, you start this NWO, New World Order, you know, and next thing you know, you're in your own little group. You're not Republican, you're not Democrat, but you're going to fix everything with your New World Order and try to fix everything.
Well, what do you
and
mean
then
by
all of a sudden,
I mean, independent would be the opposite of a new world order, right? It's not centralized. It's, I think what you were saying
no,
is like just all.
No, they
no,
think
go
they're
going
to fix everything. They don't want to. They don't want to be Democrat. They don't want to be Republican. They want to fix everything on their own independently. That's what they call the NWO, New World Order. I listen to that. I've been on many shows that talk about it. I had one fellow on New World Order that said they only serve the cheapest food down at McDonald's for 99 cents because what they're trying to do is get rid of black people, can get high in cholesterol. And I thought to myself, God damn, you know, that's what you're thinking. I got to get off this show. How much weed have you smoked? How many bottles of fucking beer have you had? Because this is bullshit, you know. Hang on, they want us to die as they're trying to kill off the black man. I'm like, this is New World Order? I
okay.
don't know what this is.
Yeah, no, I don't know about the New World Order. It's, I mean, I really don't know about that. I mean, I've heard the term. I remember, because a lot of people would say the Republicans and the Democrats are marching us toward a New World Order, but the New World Order sounds, it depends. I mean, you know, Aldous Huxley wrote that book, A Brave New World, and I mean, a New World Order could mean different things to different people. I don't think it,
no.
I think it's an overused
term. What it means
is
they're not going to take a side on Republican, they're not going to take a side on Democrat, and they're going to make their own New World Order and take care of it on their own.
Well,
so
you
know what happens?
What happens?
That's what happens. What happens is now they don't want to go Republican or Democrat, and they're going to take it over and do whatever they got to do to take it over. You know,
well, kind of like the American Revolution, right? But it's done at
the
ballot box.
They're trying to take
the
government over. They're going to take the government. I know. I got a friend right now. I can say his name on his show. He does the same thing. That's all he talks about the whole time. He tells me things on the show that I swear to God, if I was retarded and had an IQ of fucking 2, I couldn't believe what he's saying, but he's brainwashed and all that. It's a new world order. We're going to take over. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I was like, you know, I don't think so. I'm not doing that, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
have you been
smoking
weed tonight? That's what I say to him.
yeah,
a little bit of cannabis. Okay, put that in the new world order. God, I don't know what the hell you're doing. I'm not against people who smoke weed, but God almighty. Look at the controversy on just weed. Same thing with Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Obama, and the whole nine yards. I mean, everybody wants to make drugs illegal, the marijuana. I didn't say anything bad about that. I just wondering, where is the real truth between the line here on this stuff? I know it's so confusing to me.
Well, I think it's just one issue at a time. I mean, once we start forming those political parties, like you said, then you have to accept the bad things with the good things with that party. But if you just took each issue on its own, like marijuana or like, you know, a war or like a certain tax or, you know, like a trade deal or something like that, and just everyone should just focus, I think, on one issue at a time. So, I mean, so there's no parties, you know, because you might match up with different people based on the different issues. And then, you know, we wouldn't so much need parties. Now, we do have a right to organize in this country. So, I mean, people like minds, but the parties kind of, you know, I mean, I could believe in some things that the Democrats said, like you said, like you want a little bit of a human touch, but at the same time, you also want to be realistic with the numbers, and that could be like kind of the Republican side. So, I mean, that's like Gary Johnson says, you're socially liberal, you know, you have to, and that's like what George W. Bush said, a compassionate conservative. I mean, you know, that's kind of the ideal of what people want, but I mean, people want the details. Anyways, we got 90 seconds here, and so some thought-provoking thoughts here. The main thing, though, is as long as we can keep talking and, you know, air our differences with words instead of, you know, physically, I think that is very important. And as long as people really care and, you know, feel empathy for others, there's a chance, you know, we can have world peace and, you know, be responsible people that deserve a democratically elected republic. What are your final thoughts?
I think that unless they turn to God, this whole world's going to shit. You can't somebody who's in perfect flesh. You can't fix it. You can't fix it. Never will be fixed. They've been trying to fix it since the 1800s. So, God,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I agree with you there. I would say as long as people who are in charge, and I don't do the same trap that you know, Satan did, which is to think that they are God, as long as everyone knows that they're not God. Because what the Constitution really, in one way, could be is like a negative type of rights listings. It really just shows that no one is God, no one here on earth. I mean, God might be God, but no one else is God. And not being God, you don't have a right to, you know, act like you are God. So, I mean, and that's the bottom line. So we're free to let other people make their own free choice here on earth, and so they can be responsible for their own consequences thereafter, as long as they're not stepping on anyone else's shoes. And so while you're here in this time, you should have the rights to, you know, nurture your soul. And so, well, anyways, good to talk to you today. We'll be back next week. This show is over tonight, but I hope you have a great night. All right, well, I'm going to close it out with some special effects. I put on some new music today. I opened up with, there's some good Creative Commons open source stuff out there, but check this out, and we're going to close out. Yeah, thanks for listening to another episode of The Philosophy Show.